Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the haunted Kingdom of Gold and broadcasting from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, this is Ghostwriter Paranormal Radio.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
It is good to be back in this chair. It has been an adventure starting the consoles all up again. I forgot where everything was. You know who I am. My name's John Almada. I am the host of SoulStream. Been a couple of, I think about 3 months since I've been able to be on the air. A lot going on, and tonight we will try to do some mediumship. I'm noticing I'm probably been off so long nobody remembers me, but I'm just going to start over again there, Pilgrim, so you're just going to have to deal with it. So anyway, this is GRI Soulstream, of course. Ghost Rider Investigations is what we started off as here on Blog Talk Radio. And and I've had fun. I've heard just through the grapevine some things going on with the Blog Talk Radio having reliability issues, and I had my own little special set of things happening with the chat room, and I'm going to try, while I'm sitting here just getting my sea legs back here, I'm going to try to start the chat in the normal mode I'm used to, because I got the small chat running in my studio controls. I see Brenda on Facebook sees me out there. And I think I'm not going to be able to get this thing to work in the normal chat mode I'm used to. So, yeah, it's coming back with this crazy error of login error format of the auth URL response. Yeah, Blog Talk's having a lot of strange stuff going on. So I'm going to restart the chat and load the room in the little flash chat that they've got. Something's going on with BTR's reliability, I think. And I had some fun with Skype, too, getting in. So anyway, for those of you who want to call in and give me a call and talk about things going on in your world. I can't get in again. I should not have done that. Darn it. I'm going to try reloading that. Gosh darn it. The phone number is 646-478-0377. I am a psychic medium and have been, for those of you who do not know me, I have been, seeing spirits and hearing spirits since I was right around 5 years old. And I've been an old hand here. I've been on BTR since late 2008. And that was about the time I started getting into paranormal research. And I started noticing the more I did with different kinds of investigative work with my paranormal group that I started, Ghostwriter Investigations, the more my mediumship seemed to expand. And so there's been so much that's gone on. I'm going to reload the control board here while I'm at it. But so much went on with where I would go out on a case and I would see and experience, spiritual things that I had never even seen in my normal mediumship, if you will. That it was very humbling to find out that exposure to the paranormal does heighten psychic sensitivity. And if you have ability already, so much the better. So a lot of you out there already know what I'm talking about. But anyway, I'm. Oh, I see my friend. I don't know if she's got her hand up there. I think I know who that is. I'm going to go ahead and try to reload the chat room here. It says it's loading the room. It says it's logging in. Let's do a. Let's wing in a prayer and hope that they're. If this thing is actually working. If this does not work in the future, what I will do is reset up my chat room with my other chat software. Yeah, it's still doing this. I wonder what's going on with BTR. I mean, this has just not been a something that I am used to seeing. The reliability they had before was really good. So obviously there's some things going on. I see people on Facebook are doing their thing. Let's just see if I can get the big chat room to come up. God, I feel bad. Yeah, I tried. I came in a half hour early. Nearly got stung because the studio had wasps hanging out on the outside. That might have been a sign. I don't know. But anyway, oh, really? Can't hear me, huh? Okay. Okay. I'm going to see if I had to drop off the air for a bit. And I'm going to bring on, I think this is Debbie. Hello?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
Yeah, I just went ahead.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, it is weird. I'm refreshing the browser right now. Hopefully that'll help a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to try reloading the chat here, too. It's been a real adventure. I guess this is my re-education show.
Well, this happened to me a couple of times on mine. I had to just refresh the browser, and I don't know why it's not dependable like it was, but they're having issues with that.
Yeah, I have a strong feeling their infrastructure is probably running a bit. Here it just totally failed on the chat.
Yeah, it's not.
It's just the reliability has gone to you know what in a handbasket. that's surprising. It keeps coming up with these chat error. I mean, it used to be you'd just get in and it would just, everything would just was smooth as silk. And now
yeah.
It's this,
like
I guess this has been going on.
The more you, yeah, the more bells and whistles you put on something, the more it breaks down.
Yeah, it's saying now I'm just getting a horrible error. An error has occurred while processing your request. I'm going to try it one more time here. And if we have to go without chat, I'll just bend ears for a couple hours. But you want to be my co-host tonight?
Sure.
And this is Debbie.
You were my co-host. You were my co-host a couple times. So hey.
Yeah, and I'm going to impose on you if I can to be my co-host tonight, and we can talk about things spiritual, and encourage folks to call in. This is a show about mediumship, but you know, tonight's show, it looks like I'm kind of being directed by the other side that whatever they've got in mind here, we're just going to go ahead and go forward and kind of wing it as we go. I'm getting folks are saying, can you try to fire off and see if Donna is telling me on Facebook that it's if you could
he's
try to launch the
sound either.
Yeah, we are connected.
I keep reloading my browser. The first couple of times the chat room would come up, but now I'm not even getting your rotator. So
we'll keep at it. Let me just see. I'm going to put the phone number to dial in. That way, if people want to call in, I'm just going to do it through Facebook and just say dial in to listen in.
Have you tried calling in again and just completely starting over from scratch?
Yeah, that's what I did. I went ahead and did that. It's just not happening. And my cut and paste isn't working, darn it. You know,
Let me put the phone number in
and then encourage folks to dial in with Skype also, and we'll definitely be able to go forward from there. Yeah, and I'm going to keep trying the chat room just to see if I can get it to come up.
Okay.
Yeah, I came in 30 minutes early, and things started going south in a hurry. I mean, I had good network, all the broadcast computers, everything's the way it was before. It's just Blog Talk's bad.
I got your Skype number here. Let's see if I can. Well, it's the same thing.
Yeah, that's the darnest thing.
I've got that pasted in.
Okay. And bottom line is, let's just go ahead and just do a podcast show then, and we'll just hope that this proves. I'm going to keep trying to launch the chat because it's just flat broke. It's broke.
You said you were able to get the small chat window to open. What about the large one?
Well, I tried loading it, and I finally got logged in at one point, and then it just has utterly failed. And every attempt thereafter, I made the mistake of ending that chat and trying to go with the big. And it's getting internal server errors. And I'm a professional webmaster. I mean, I do capacity management and things like that. And I'm looking at this, and this has all the look of a capacity issue. It's like their funding or something is gone.
Yeah,
so something's really up here. Anyway, we'll just go ahead and do the show as is. Just so everybody knows, we went to the same high school together back at Roseville High School back in the 1970s, mm-hmm. late 1970s. And we're about a year and a half I knew you before we went our separate ways in life.
Yep.
And then we bumped into
yep.
each other again on Facebook, and when my dad passed away, you dropped by and so very nicely came by with groceries and stuff, because I had a sick mother at the time, and so much has happened. It's been a mm-hmm. I'm going to kick my shoes off and get comfortable. Might as well.
We've done a lot of life together in a year and a half.
Damn straight. But anyway, it's been interesting because so much has gone on. I mean, you've been around ever since then. You know, we've been very good friends, and you've seen kind of the things I've been going through. And
right.
There's some stuff that's happened. I mean, I went off the air for about roughly, I think it was about 3-4 months there.
Three or four months. Correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we took the time off because my mother was starting to have really big issues, and we were afraid that there was going to be another death in the family, I mean, to be very blunt. And that was putting me in a position that I had to deal with, you know, real contingencies that were going on. And, you know, it's interesting because as a medium, I know that they go on. I know that they can – you know, reach out from the other side. I have seen my father after he passed, the day after he passed, I saw him. But when you've got one parent left, you know, and then you're dealing with all the real world contingencies, you know, of a ranch and dealing with all these different things that go on. And I see another caller. Hi, caller, I see you out there. But it's just you finally realize that you have to deal with, you have to kind of put away the things you'd like to do and deal with the things you have
right.
to do. And so that's
and
kind of
you
the
have.
Why I've
you've
been
gone
off.
Through. Yeah, people don't realize how much you've been through. You've had to be the man of the family. You've had to repair everything around the ranch. You've had to stay strong for your mom, taking her to doctor appointments. It's impacted your health. You've had to deal with legal and financial issues. I mean, the stuff that you've had to deal with is you know, you know I have to deal with a lot, but I know that I see what you have to, and I just, pray for you and try to be there for you as much as I can, because you're my, like my best friend, and I hate seeing you have to do that, but you're strong and you've handled it well.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I got the chat room to sort of come up.
Yay!
Gosh. Hey, the chat room's up. Yay, everybody.
It is. Let me refresh and try to get on there now. Are they zombies? Zombie chat room.
Okay. I don't know if Tim, I'm just going to tell Tim Zuhl, dial in to listen.
So he can hear you.
Right. Anyway, we are having sound issues.
Yeah, I'm getting complete error, processing error now that I refreshed.
A problem.
We'll just talk to each other on the phone.
it is a problem at BTR, not us. Okay, so anyway.
It's not your fault.
Yeah, it's not me. I've got good gear. I've got my stuff all updated, Pilgrim. But yeah,
you got
your
stuff in a row.
That's right. This is Captain James C. Kirk. We've run diagnostics, long-range sensor scans indicate it's BTR. We've got to beam the president aboard and issue subspace transmission fixes. Lieutenant Uhura.
Believe it or not, people, he did this voice in high school too, so he's kind of talented. Oh Lord.
Oh God, let's see.
When you
see,
do
right. What's that?
It's when you do the ladies that I'm not quite sure. You do pretty good women's impersonations. Anytime I call the house, the answer is a different voice. I never know what I'm
going to
get.
Having a hot sash. Ooh, it's wonderful. Ooh, and the temperature differential. Ooh, it's so sexy. Anyway,
I would tell John if he wasn't as crazy as he was, I wouldn't like him as much.
It's just wonderful to be here. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Oh, golly.
Yeah, you know, it's good that things have lightened up quite a bit. I see I've got we've got two more callers, so they're just listening.
Good.
I got a 718. Welcome, callers. Welcome.
Dial
in now.
Welcome.
Buy today, and if you buy today, just wait. There's
join
more.
The party line. How many of you are old enough to know about party lines?
Oh God.
And we all had a neighbor that listened in on them.
That's right. I mean, it's a party line. Yeah, it's a party.
It's a party line, and we're all listening
totally
in on each other's
sure.
Call.
So I'm going to ask the folks in the chat room, let me know if you are hearing us through the normal method and not dialed in. So
if you can't get through to the chat room like I can't, indicate on that on Facebook, because I'm not able to get into the chat room. So.
Yeah, I finally got
like me.
Four of them in. Just keep trying because we finally got something going here, and it's like we've got a lifeline, man. We've got a lifeline.
I think I'm gonna log out of Blog Talk and then log back in. I'm gonna try that.
And if you are having trouble getting into chat and you want to interact with us, go to my Facebook page, john.f.almada, and you're friended with me. I don't have a public availability, but for those who I've friended with, and the number is considerable, you will be able to reach my wall.
You have lots
and you'll look for the thread that says, we are on the air, a few glitches, but things are up and running. Drop in there, and I've got that page up, and I can see you guys, so we can chat there. So that's really cool. I see Reiki Lights putting up. Yes, I encourage you, put up your links to your stuff. We are very friendly to that. So as long as it's not the next rated porn thing, we're pretty cool about it, okay? So anyway, it's been funny. So much so has happened. I mean, Mom, we were having all this trouble with Mom, so ill, and it was about a month ago. It was getting to the point where we thought that she was afraid she was going to pass, and so we've been dealing with personal matters, getting the ranch ready for me to take it over. And I've already been dealing with things. And just as you said, I've been, you know, fixing things. I've been buying tools and, you know, doing all kinds of repairs and, you know, everything
and
anything.
Well, not to mention the fact that you have a very stressful job. So, I mean, it all adds up.
It's actually the job.
Calmed down a little bit, but there are times.
Gotten better. I mean, I'm getting good performance reviews there. It's the work is easy, much easier than before, and I'm having a great time with that.
Well, you're
such a smarty. Mm-hmm. No, I'm just a dumb guy.
Yeah, this guy's a super genius. Believe me, guys.
Oh, I like my co-host too, there, Pilgrim. But yeah, you know, I've got my co-host here. It's funny because what ended up happening was Mom went in for a glucose tolerance test. There was some suspicion about diabetes, and it turns out that's what this has all been all about. On top of all the other surgeries and the infections she's been dealing with, she's got a full-blown case of diabetes. And so that said, it's controlled through diet. It's not the kind where she has to do injections. And I'm on that diet with her right now. So to make it easy on her, I just decided, what the hell? I mean, if both my parents have had diabetes, it's likely I could get it. I don't want
that.
So I'll just go ahead and eat that way too, and I'm feeling better. And
but you know,
the nice thing
about your mom is she's a great cook. So no matter what kind of diet you're on, you're going to get good food.
Get good grits for your program.
Yep, that's right. She's a great cook.
But the neat part has been I've been able to finally look up in the last, I think it's 2 weeks, I've started looking around again and going, hey, there's a paranormal world out there. And I've been getting these subtle little hints from spirits, like, you know, like right in my face, they're ripping the door open and then slamming doors in front of me in my room, which has been very interesting the last few nights. And all sorts of little promptings to get my butt back on the air. So I am now back on the air, but what's happening is I'm getting all these crazy airs on BTR. So I noticed a lot of my – I don't know if any other shows have walked out and left BTR because, I mean, I've heard various inklings of things going on. My friend Spencer Hughes, he went off to another network and – there's just a lot going on out there. So I don't know what's happening with BTR. I hope the reliability gets better. I do see, who we got? We got Recky Light, Spirit Said, Tim Zuhl. Hi, Tim. Let's see, Bright and Gerber Daisy TM. And we got a guest out. Guest 5761, you are from France. We see you there. So good to see you guys. So where are we at? I mean, what's going on? I've been immersing myself back into doing work out there. Gerber Daisy, that's Debbie on the phone. She's my co-host tonight, yes. And
yes,
she's also
another
BTR host. She runs a show called Special Family Connection. And so she's graciously agreed to come out co-host with me. I have not seen Nancy in forever, and I know she's been off busy doing things that she needs to do. So I don't know if we'll see her again here or...
Yeah. She's been taking care of a friend that's really ill, so she's just occupying a lot of her time. Yeah.
Yeah, we all kind of went our separate ways for a while, and it was just life stuff that was hitting us. So I'll try to get in touch with her and find out what's going on, but I have my own snares to deal with, you know. But what's happened though is I went out with a very good friend, and we went out to Pioneer Cemetery. Over in Coloma, and that's just right down the road. That's where gold was discovered in 1848. And the town of Coloma just sprung out of nowhere, and 50,000 people took over the hills out here and mined the gold, and they did all kinds of stuff, and crazy things happened, and lots of dead people showed up after that a short time later. They just all started planting people in the ground, and then spirits are walking around. And, I ended up picking one of those spirits up, a little boy, back in 2009. And, I think it was 2008 or 2009. I got that one of the best EVPs I've ever picked up. And that EVP eventually, I eventually had a friend of mine, Christine, who lives now in Ohio, Christine B. And she... was contacted by Sci-Fi Channel for the show Haunted Highway and mentioned that I had some good evidence. And I got a call from a producer, and then next thing you know, I ended up on Haunted Highway last year. So about this time last year, I was in discussions to go on the air and do some really cool stuff. And it was not too long after my dad died, and we thought Mom was doing better. And then, you know, things just took a – right after that episode happened, that's when things kind of started really going downhill. So it was really it's just been a really eventful thing. I mean – and I thought that might be the end of my paranormal life, you know, for quite a while. I was at a place where I just didn't know if, you know, would I be able to keep doing what I'm doing, you know, like I did in the past. And I've been assured, most assuredly, by the other side in the last week or so, it's like, you know, get your butt out there. You're going to get EVPs. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to read. And I did, you know, we did this case the other day, and I did some of the evidence analysis just for about an hour, and I pulled in some great EVPs back
I
at that spot.
I listened to them online. They were great. They were really good.
So I'm going to get those things. I posted them out on Facebook, and I've got my own private cloud where I share that stuff, and then I can share it direct onto Facebook from the cloud. And so I've got all that, and I'll be redoing my site. So a lot of new things. I've had some changes in my approach to the paranormal, though. I've become much more sensitive about what it's like for the spirits with regard to what we do when we go out there and work with them. And I've been noticing the trend with a lot of other investigators, too. You know, it used to be we went in there like cowboys and just demanded that these entities perform for us. And now it's a much more of a kind of a collegiate kind of a thing. There's a much more... I guess good manners.
You're almost going in there more as a helper or an aid to them instead of asking them to do something for you. You're going in there and saying, "What can I do for you?"
And yeah, that's it.
Good
guest. You know, you're being. It's like you're a guest in their home. There's certain things you would do that you would. You go into somebody else's home, you're not going to go in there and start making demands. You're going to be a good guest, and you're going to show good manners. And you're going to have honest concerns of the heart. You know, you're coming from your heart. That's exactly, you know what you're saying. It's just, right. I feel
you're
completely
going
different.
In as a servant. Yeah, instead of a taskmaster, you're the servant. And that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, it means a whole different thing to me now. After seeing my own people, you know, getting sick and passing, and then all of these things that have happened, it really shifts your whole focus as to why you're doing the work. So, you know, I'm just kind of letting you guys know that's kind of what's been going on. I haven't walked away from you. I just got hit over the head a bunch of times. And there was other things that happened, too, that I don't think even, Debbie, you really know some of this stuff. And I'm just going to just blat it out on the air so people know. There was a point at which back in, I think it was 2010, I went out on an investigation at a location about an hour from here. It's basically a prison-type situation, but for younger boys. And some of you who are more astute would know which site that is. And I went there, and I had a friend of mine who was back in GRI in those days. He was my kind of my second in command, if you will. And he wanted to do this case in the worst way, and I had a bad vibe from the start on this particular mission. And I thought, you know, okay, I'll do it just to humor him. And I got in there, and I didn't get 10 feet, and I knew it was a huge mistake. And and what ended up happening was I got very ill in there, and there was a lot. I was able to pick up stuff, and people were remarking about how accurate the information was I was getting. But when I got out, I wanted to. It was like getting out of a dirty pool. It just was like, get this off of me. And when I got home, one thing I always have done is I always run protection on the places I stay. I've already had spirits who have done some things in the, you know, when I started getting into this work hot and heavy and doing mediumship on top of the paranormal work, spirits would follow me home, and I finally had to set some ground rules, and I put some materials in place that keep them away. And what ended up happening was, after this visit to this particular location, this entity followed me home but couldn't get past my defenses. So it turned and went after my mother. And she woke up to a black shape that was pinning her down, and she managed to fight it off. My mother is also a medium, but I got a very stern talking to the next day about this.
She's also a very tough lady, so...
She cussed it out, and she evoked the name of God, and she used a whole bunch of cuss words on top of it, and she managed to overpower it, and she was wide awake when this happened. It was not like it's some dream thing. This happened in the waking hours. The rest of my team started calling me the rest of the week and started telling me the exact same stories. So, I had a full-blown panic on my hands at that point. So I got really worried, and it was another couple of months later. We were dealing with all these problems, and I ended up. I was walking down to my place one day, and it was evening, and I was still staying in my little studio down because I was still, my dad was still alive, but things are going bad with him. I walked down to my place, and I just was getting ready to make the turn. There's a little curve that leads right directly to my front door. And in my right ear, I suddenly hear this, and I'll try to simulate the sound, but it was like that. Now, when that happens 2 inches from your ear, that will freak anybody out. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're John Edward the medium. You're going to freak out, okay?
I would have needed a Depends. Give me the box of Depends. I'll wear that around there.
Oh, gosh.
Oh,
I'm going to tell folks, too, to reload. They're still having troubles.
Yeah, I haven't been able to get on at all. I've just primarily through the phone that I'm participating, so.
Okay, I'm putting that in for everybody. So reload or dial in to listen in. But I'm just going to accept the fact that BTR's got really bad reliability issues going on right now. But the bottom line, though, is this thing actually scared the holy crap out of me. I mean, it was awful. I made a choice not to react. One thing I've learned about the paranormal is that if you show fear, you're giving the entity what it wants. And so I made the decision that what I was going to do was just I stopped for the briefest of moments and then carried forward. And I got in the door and I closed the door and I went, holy, you know what? And I was really shook up. Let's just put it this way. From that moment on, I've had some real issues going forward with the show the way it was and continue to do what I've been doing. And I was really trying hard to keep this whole ball rolling the way it was before, but you can't undo things like that. So I had been really hitting it hot and heavy through 2010, and then 2011 and 2012 were just a wash. There was really not much going. I did a case, some cases in Virginia City in 2012, which were really good. We went to Virginia City and had a great time, There were some issues with management of the team, and I had so much on my mind from my father's death and then a sick mother. I finally had to pull up the stakes and just say, that's it. I'm going to deal with whatever this is that we have to finish out and then get back to this work. And so she's much better, so things are going better with Mom. And I've had time to kind of mature my viewpoint and look at where I'm at and decide, what do I want to do? And did I even want to do paranormal work anymore? Did I want to do mediumship? Even though I studied so hard and I'm certified and I've done all this. And the answer is yes, I want to continue. I really want to do this. And I'm not going to just drop off the planet. I did because I had to. But things are looking up and I feel good. And I feel better about, where it's all going. And even if the day should arrive that my mother passes, I'll still keep going, But I've had to be boiled in the fire a little bit, just like a lot of you out there in your lives, And you know how it is. I mean, when things happen with family, that's what comes first, So
that's right.
I'm,
right.
Um, I really have wrestled with the whole idea of, retiring early too and moving into, doing this stuff full time. And I've made the decision, I'm going to do this work for the rest of my life, I will be doing readings. Whether or not I charge for them, I haven't even made that decision yet. I just know this. I will be doing readings, and I will read people. I will probably always give readings away in great plenitude, but I will also have to make a living. So I'm going to do kind of a mix of things to keep the bread on my table, too. I've got to be able to eat. But I will be doing readings, and I will do paranormal work. And I really want to... start things off by saying, okay, we're going to get back on the air, just like I am now. Whether or not I stay with BTR, I don't know, because if I see much more of this reliability stuff, I'm going to switch to something else, and I don't know what it
is
yet.
I might have to follow your lead with mine. I need to know that it's going to be there when I need it. So.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to my friend Spencer about his, I don't know what network he's on, but
Yeah.
So, but that said, I think, I see, we've got, people are dropping in and off. Okay. So we've got a pretty regular, it's good. Oh, Donna 23 is out there. Hello. So, Reiki says we should team up. I'll take anybody I can get through who will hang out with me and say, hey, how can we help? So, yes.
I've hung out with Dawn for 37 years. It's boring, but sometimes, yeah. If I can stand in for 37 years, you guys can.
Well, the boring part was where I wasn't in your life for 36 of those years now. So
That's true. Like, oh, so I forgot about that part, because it seems like we've just never been away from each other ever.
I've got the book. I haven't forgotten about my book, and I had to that was another thing I shelved until we could get this all dealt with. So the mediumship book is going to be reactivated, get that back on track. Matter of fact, you're going to help me with the cover. So
the
cover
is almost done. We just need the pictures for
just
it.
Just do the pictures of me, which will break the camera, but then I know you're going to hit me.
I'm going to slap you. Every time he says that, I start to slap him. I don't like ugly people, so I...
Anyway, the other thing, too, is we've got some missions coming up, and GRI is going to get back in gear. We did the preliminary mission, which we went out to Pioneer Cemetery. I see Chris out there. Hi, Chris. Good to see you, my dear.
Hi, dial Chris. In
if everybody, by the way, if you are getting intermittent sound, just dial in, because BTR stream obviously is having issues. But, we're going to do – GRI is going to go back out in the field, and I've already made the decision, executive decision, as of today. The first two missions are going to be we're going to go to Cal Neva. That's where Marilyn Monroe and I think Frank Sinatra, their spirits are seen. And there's a very active haunt
there. That's the one I want to go with you on. Your mom's going to go, and is your mom going to go on that one?
Yeah, she's going on both. I talked it over with her tonight. So she's an EVP magnet like me, so we're going to put her to work, and we'll see if we can reserve sometime either this month or into next. We'll reserve Cal Neva, and I'm also going to be going after the very first place I ever did a paranormal investigation was in 2006. I did an investigation at the Gold Hill Hotel, which was just tonight on, of all things, on Ghost Adventures.
Oh, really?
I keep crossing paths with the guys from Ghost Adventures. I've never met them, but we always investigate the same cases. But we're going to be staying – I'm going to put my mother up in the hotel proper, and then a number of us are going to go out into the old miner's cabin, the miner's shack. And we stayed in there in 2009. And what I'd like to do is we're going to go ahead and do a case where I have much more video. So we're going to have a cameraman that will be taking shots of us. And I'm going to be doing basically monologue of and doing interviews right there on camera of what and presenting evidence from our first cases and, feeding that in and then documenting what we're doing. And we'll produce videos. So I've got that pretty much decided that we're going to do that. Yeah, Chris, I don't see Nancy yet. I don't know where she's at right now, but I know she had some stuff going on with family. So, but I'm back. You love me? I love
Yay.
You, Chris. I love Canada.
Hi, Chris. Canada. Debbie.
Would you like some beer? Anyway, but we're going to do video. And I'm not trying to be some other paranormal show, but we're going to talk about our past experiences and the things we've had happen and just put ourselves out there and have a great time. So that said, you know, I've kind of gone off, you know, for an hour and 10 minutes here with all this wonderful stuff. But I'm going to take a call here. I've got one person with their fist up in the air with a big question mark here. That's kind of new. We're going to see who we got. 561. 561, you're on Soulstream. What's your name? Where are you from?
Hi, this is Lisa from Florida.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Where are you from?
Are you from Florida?
Oh, Florida. I like Florida. I've been there once. It's a nice place. Very hot, though.
Yes, it is. Today was very hot.
What part of Florida are you in?
I'm in West Palm Beach.
Is that like on the southwest side or?
It's South Florida. It's about half hour north of Fort Lauderdale.
Okay. Yeah. But what brings you to our neck of the woods, my dear?
I saw that you're a medium, and I was wondering if I could have a reading.
Well, let me put it to you. You're the first person I've read in about. Actually, Debbie, I read you. Mm-hmm. You kind of let me
you
read
did
you
very
once,
well
but,
too. You did very
yeah,
well.
Yeah, so I'm a little out of practice, my dear. And what was your name again?
Lisa.
Okay, so I've got that down. So just bear with me that I'm rusty to say least.
Okay.
But I will be glad to read you. So we'll give it a go. What do you, I just get the sense that you're expecting, do you want a particular person or persons to come through? Or are
yeah,
you just looking for, pardon me?
Yeah, I have some family members on the other side. Yeah, I would love for my mother, my brother,
okay.
I have my father, I have a lot of people on the other side.
Okay, so I'm not fishing for that information. So, yeah, big no-no when you talk to medium is don't tell about who's passed on the other side. Because the whole process of mediumship is about you coming forward as the sitter, and me as the medium, I pick up who it is, and then I have to give you an identity or identities, and then provide evidence to support that. And then get confirmation from you. And then not only on top of that, they have a message from the other side. And that's we pass that information on. So one of the things we try to do is, we'll try to isolate that so we're not leading you on. And if you do run into mediums that are doing that, and they are out there, they will fish for information. And it's not done. It's sort of bad manners to do that. You're fishing, and then you try to pass yourself off. And everybody has a good night, everybody has a bad night, even if you're a very competent medium. Throwing that out there. So remember when you call into these shows, just be on the watch for that. If they're trying to tease information out of you and then they say you say something and then the medium says, oh, yeah, that's what I was thinking about and here's some more information. Well, they were being lazy. We have to work our butts off to do mediumship, okay? That said... I'm just kind of focusing in on this. You talked about your father being passed, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a brother? I'm getting to the side of your father. Was there a brother?
Yes.
Because I'm getting a brotherly energy. Was that and that brother is passed, correct?
Yes.
Is the brother, is your father, I'm getting vehicles. And don't volunteer anything until I ask you to give information. Either the brother or the father, was there some big thing about cars? Like a really big thing about cars? Were they into, you know, mechanical aspect of vehicles or propulsion or something like that? Were they car people?
No. My brother liked cars.
Was he into racing and did he go to races and stuff like that? The brother?
I don't know. Could have. I don't. Could have.
How close
I don't,
were
I've
you
never
to
heard
him?
About
it. Well, this was
How
the uncle to
I
you
was?
Then, right? This was your uncle then,
know.
Right?
This is my brother.
Okay, I'm talking about your dad's brother.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure. I wasn't that close to my father's family.
Okay, well, I'm going to put it to you this way. When they show me, what I saw, and I'm not even using the right word for car. I'm using what I saw was shown was a truck. So I don't know if it was something to do with like a racing thing, or if this guy was a truck driver or what. But he's showing me the symbol of a truck. So I'm just going to throw that out there and let you go research that. A lot of times, what they'll do is they'll give me the symbols, and then you'll take that forward and go find out. Yet that was them, you know, identifying something they did in life, or there was some interest they had in that. With regard to your father, I'm going to return to him. Since you already let me know ahead of time he's passed, so I can't really go with that too much. But what I do know is this. Was this an illness? I believe illness. I keep being shown. Was he sick when he passed? Was there an illness? Because I get something caused him, and it was a quick passing. Was it quick?
He was very depressed and took his life.
Oh, so okay. That would be an illness, you know, because I was having trouble interpreting this. He'd been manifesting this for a couple of years at least, as far as the effects of the depression, right? And so the period of 2 years prior were markedly different.
Yeah, he deteriorated.
Was the family was aware of how bad it was getting, and were trying to get him help?
Yeah, they were trying, but very stubborn.
Was this a passing by gunshot?
No.
No,
my nephew took him his life from a gunshot.
Pardon me?
My father stabbed himself and took 90 pills, but my nephew shot himself in March.
Oh, my God. So there's two of them.
Yeah, I had two suicides. I know. It's really shocking.
With regard to the father, was you have siblings, correct?
Yeah.
Was it one of the siblings that found him, your father?
Yes.
Who? Okay, there's real regret from your father about this. This is the point, you know, he's making a really big point of this. He really is sorry he did this and it caused this kind of pain. And that's kind of the sense I get of this.
He put us through a lot of pain.
Are you one of three, or is it three siblings? Is there three of you? Why is he giving me three?
No,
how many are there? Pardon
me? There's six now, but at the time there were seven of us.
Were there three in the vicinity of him? Is that or was this? Maybe I'm getting this wrong. What month did he take his life in?
It was this month in 2004.
Okay, so it's been a while. So I don't know what the 3 is. He's showing me a 3, and I have no clue what that's about. So I'm just going to go with that. Well, let's let it sit. Pardon me?
I said my birthday's in March.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, that's a stretch, but, you know, it could be, but I'm not going to go, you know, say that that's evidence, you know, of it. But if that is, then he's saying happy birthday. But so if six siblings, all from the same marriage?
Yeah.
Was this a girl who found him?
Was there what?
Was it one of the girls who found him?
Yes.
Okay, that's why he is extremely, because I keep getting that your sister then was completely freaked out when this happened.
No, I had 3 sisters.
Yeah, so was more than one of them there then?
My mother and sister were there when it happened.
So, but the one that was the your sister, the one that found him, or was it your mother? The initial.
I'm not really sure. I know they were both there at that time, but I don't know who the first one was.
Has your sister had counseling or anything since then?
I don't know. I don't talk to her. We had a really big blowout after my mother passed, so I don't talk to her. So, yeah, I'm sure she needs counseling.
Yeah, he's very adamant about this. I mean, if he's driving me to this point about talking this out, it's because he's got concerns about her. Is depression something that runs in the family?
Yes, big time. I think there's some illness in the family.
Yeah, guess what? I myself I take Wellbutrin, and it's a wonderful medication. And those of us, I'm half Scottish Highlander, and the other half of me, even though it's technically Portuguese, is Viking blood that came from that landed in the Azores and stayed. And so there's something about we Nordic types. Who we tend to get that depression. I'm not saying that you're Nordic, but it seems to run in families, and it has to do with certain substances that the brain doesn't manufacture enough of. And so there's no shame in it, admitting that you have this little issue, and the medications that are today are really good, and I take the Wellbutrin, and I do just great, and it's wonderful. I'm a lot happier with it, and you couldn't pry it out of my cold, dead hands, okay? So, you know, but he's really adamant that that this sister issue, you're not talking with her now?
No, my oldest sister, but I'm living with my other sister's daughter, and it's been really holy hell, really bad.
Well,
I wonder if you talk about that. I think it's this sister too that needs help.
John, I was just thinking that maybe her father is worried that her sister will be the third one that dies if something's not done. And that's where the number 3 comes in.
Exactly where I'm going with this. There's a real feeling of getting everybody together kind of a thing and just letting them know that, hey.
Do you think it's the sister I'm living with, or do you think it's the older sister that found him? Because I'm thinking it's both of them. I don't even know. I mean, this family.
Well,
I'd say it was the one that went through the trauma.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I feel that it's the one. The way he's showing it to me is it's the one who's had the initial find, and I'm worried that just the way this is coming across. He's very concerned about this being, handled as delicately as possible. But he, number one, he wants her to know that he's okay on the other side, and that this was just the result of his illness. And if he could take it back, he would. But at the same time, there's a realization that this is a genetic thing in the family, and that this needs to get addressed in her case, and not only that, the rest of your family for sure. if it runs in the whole family, it's just something that needs to be openly talked about, you know, and not kind of hidden in the shadows. So, you know, there's really a real strong push by him on this. Is one of your, you have brothers too, correct?
Yeah, I have a twin brother, and I have, well, I had two, and, well, my one brother passed, but, yeah, I have two other brothers. One of them is my twin.
Is there, like, is one of them in media work or in front of a microphone singing or is doing something like that or new? I just get the feeling that, are they in some kind of public work? Where they're doing, they're putting themselves in...
Construction.
Maybe that's a truck thing. I'll just say this much. He's showing me something about, unless I'm getting this wrong, but he's showing me one of the brothers in front of TV cameras and microphones, and I'm trying to make sense of that. So I don't know. That's why I'm kind of being led off in this one direction. Is your twin brother just as concerned about the whole question with what you're feeling about your sisters with this illness?
Not like I am. I think I'm more in tune in my intuition. I've always felt there was something wrong with people in my family.
No,
I think I'm more concerned. I'm really concerned that there's huge mental illness in my family.
Okay, well, I'm having trouble finding out why he's bringing up the microphone thing with the brother, but let's just put that one aside because I'm probably misreading this. But the overall, you know, message here, you know, that he's giving is that everything's okay with him. He's fully dialed in on the other side. He's gotten the help he's needed. He was willing to come through, and, you know, as soon as I heard, yeah, I mean, I have a standard system I go through, and I had to remember all of this now as I go. But, I mean, I gravitated right in on father energy for sure. And it was just a real, he's really powerful. Was he rather bold in life? I mean, was he kind of an outspoken, larger-than-life individual?
He could be. He was sort of like... typical personality. He's Gemini. Usually Gemini's like that.
Yeah, it... I don't think he's changed that much. Because he was... I mean, the way he came through was just... It was just like hit gangbusters. It was just, boom, I'm here. And, you know, that...
Yeah.
And there was just no denying it. The brother energy
is
inside of him. I feel the same way about the brother energy. Oh, pardon me?
Yeah, I think I get a little bit of
that
outspokenness from him.
it's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with being outspoken. He's just trying to get it through that he's around you. Have you, after he passed, you were, I take it you were not in the vicinity. You were not in the same geographic region as he was. Away from him?
They moved his body back to New York.
So it was a long way away.
Yes.
Okay. Trying to find out why he's emphasizing the geographics here. What is this guy? Come on, help me. He shows me this and he's like self-silent. I'm just guessing that was there he's using the indication, and he's showing me what happened to my father. The day after my father died in 2012, it was February, I looked out through my window there was like a serving pantry window going from my kitchen into the formal dining room. And I turned just in time. I was getting coffee, and I saw my father gliding by, and he looked robotic. And he went turned the corner and went down and disappeared into the towards the laundry room and disappeared right in front of me. It was just, I mean, I almost dropped my coffee. It was so unbelievable. It was full living color. I've seen plenty of apparitions. You know, I've had a lot of experience with this kind of thing. But when it's your own father you're seeing, you get a little freaked out, you know what I mean? And I just get the sense that your dad was trying to come through for people. And was there reports of him being seen after his passing? Because I feel like a sibling saw your father.
Really? I don't know. No one ever said, you know, I mean, I always felt his presence and stuff like that, because I think I'm more in tune than some of my other brothers.
So you felt, you,
I always felt his presence.
Well, I would not be surprised. I think the way he's doing this, I think he would, if you bring it up around some of your siblings, I think you're going to find out there's some other stories there. Because, yeah, he showed me that for a reason. He's calling up my own memories. So I believe that that did happen there. Are you in school or are you going back to school? Is there a school?
I am
anything?
In school. Yeah, I've been in school for. Yes, I am in school.
Okay. Is it like you just went back, or you've been? Is this an ongoing thing?
It's been.
Because I feel like.
It's been ongoing.
So are you getting ready to graduate? Is it coming up to graduation?
Well, I do have two graduations coming up. My son, my oldest, and my youngest coming. My youngest next year, high school, and then my oldest this year, college. So I do have graduations coming up.
Okay, that's sort of what's going on then. Because I was getting school, and then I'm looking at going, well, is it you? So the whole lot, the whole bunch of you are getting educated, and he's just kind of making it, let it be known that, hey, I'm around, and I get the sense that what he's saying is he's going to be there. So, do you tend to talk to him quite a bit, even in your in your mind? Okay.
Yes.
Feel free to keep doing that. He likes that, and it makes it's good for him when you do that. And have you there's another point here. Is there forgiveness on your side for what transpired with him when you took his life?
Yes.
Because
for me, I can't speak for anyone else, but I think I'm more forgiven than people in my family.
Did you expressly tell him that?
I could have.
He's bringing it up for a reason then, and I would say after this reading's over, and you get a little alone time tonight, sit down and think about what your feelings are on this, and then talk to him about it, and I think it will go a long way not only to lifting the burden off of you, but it will help him too, even though he may know it into your feelings about it are known to him. You taking the time to kind of format what your feelings are and tell him and speak it out loud. Don't hold back. Don't just do a silent conversation. Speak out loud to him. I think you're going to notice some changes. And there may even be some things that he does that directly get your attention. So he's not altogether unable to come back in visitation. I think he's done that already. But he loved you guys beyond all words, more than you know. I'm being shown like arms around all of you, like a big, was he big guy? Is he kind of a big man? What did he do for a living?
He was, he did a few different things. Drove a truck. Oh, wow. Look at that truck just came up. He drove a truck when he was younger, and he worked in the machine shop, and then he was a warehouse manager, and that's where he retired from. So he did a lot of different things. He's in the Army.
So did he have, was he pretty physical? then? I mean, he physically, yeah, was there, it was, did he have like big arms? Was he pretty powerful?
Yeah.
He could weightlift and do stuff like that?
Yeah, he used to love the garden and stuff like that. So, yeah, he did like to do things.
Well, what I'm saying this all for is because he's just really, I don't know that, you know, I don't think that he was the most demonstrative in life, but what I know is this, he loves you to distraction, even from the other side, and he's very glad that this opportunity came up. So, you know, you got, what I'm getting is arms all around you guys, just, and letting you know that he's around you. I don't think that he's feeling he's not going to try to intervene and try to, you know, say you got to go, you know, all these different little family troubles that go on. He would prefer that it, you know, that it wouldn't be that way, but real life is real life. So you've got to do what you're adults and you've got to do what you've got to do. But he's supportive of all of you. So with that said, I think he's just kind of, you know, just going to step back from here.
Mm-hmm.
And with regard to the who was it, the one that took their life just recently?
This was my brother's son. He was 23. Mm-hmm.
Was there drugs in this?
Yeah.
I saw drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Was he under the influence at the time?
I think so. He was withdrawing, and his, you know, mother wouldn't give him money. And he basically said, you know, now I'm going to do this. And he shot himself in the head right in front of his mother.
Well, what I would say is he's still, I don't think that your father's been there around him. But I think he's still in a place, you know, this, you know, you're, what is he at relation? I'm sorry, my brain's just completely dead here. The relation to you, that would be your cousin?
Oh, you're my nephew.
Your nephew, okay, your nephew. I just don't think that he's quite out of getting kind of this all healed up, if you will. They don't just go into the other side and everything's just perfect, hunky-dory. It takes time. And he's still going through acclimation, and it's kind of a process. So that's still going on. I do feel like there's been a lot more going on with him from, if you want to say, a paranormal aspect with the immediate family than has been let on. The other thing was did he live in Florida also?
No, he lived in New York.
New York? Okay, had he visited Florida with you? I mean, was he regularly coming down or fairly often?
Yeah. Well, when he was younger, they used to all come down.
What was, I see a lot of plants around this guy. What was the deal with plants? Was he like into gardening or, huh?
My father was the one that loved the garden. I don't know, maybe he liked to. I didn't.
Oh, your father was a gardener too? Okay, so, well, there's just, I don't know what is in the, but I'll just say this. I'm pretty sure that I'm with the nephew here. There's something with regard to plants, or he was in an area with a lot of plants. So I don't know if this certainly has to do with the drugs. I have no clue, okay? But I mean, they're showing you this part, so it may be something you want to confirm, you know, after the fact, but. The one thing I do know is that he seems to be okay now, but he's in the final phases of getting through his whole transition. And then I think he has family with him. They're helping him through it. Grandmother. Your grandmother has passed on that side?
Yes.
Okay. I've got grandmother energy with him. There's also grandmother had sister?
Yes.
Okay, and that sister has passed, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then I got two females, you know, but like, you know, above him, above the nephew, who are there, you know, kind of just, they've kind of taken over the whole game with that. So they're more involved than the rest of them. And when they'll bring him out and when the time is right. And so it's still fresh, you know. And the other thing is that the family left on this side are still just, oh, dear God. I mean, are you talking with them quite a bit?
No, they won't talk to me.
Is it the family issues that have gone on?
Yeah, it's been a lot of family issues. Nobody's been able to resolve anything, even if it's good death in the family.
I'll just say this much. It's one thing to try to confront this stuff head on, and you run into the egos of people. The one thing you can do is, you know, the power of prayer. A lot of people kind of poo-poo it. But you can pray for them, and not only that, you can talk. You can have a conversation with someone who's alive, and talk to their higher self just as much as you can talk to somebody who's passed on. So I've found it often when I've had conflict with someone, I'll just try to talk to their higher self, and basically kind of just have it out with them there without being petty, and you'll find that things seem to go better. And you may be surprised at some of the results. So I'm just giving you kind of a little hint there that you may want to just have that conversation with some of them and let them know how much you care. Because, you know, family's family. And I'll tell you what, I don't have a lot of my own family left, so I value the ones I have. Major hint to everybody out there. If you've got, you know, family, you better treasure them because they can be gone that quick. And, you know, when you've got few of them left and the Thanksgivings and Christmases start showing up, that's when it gets real. So I hope it gets better for you, my dear.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
All right, Lisa. Well, hey, honey, you take care and hey, you have a great night, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Bye now. All right. I'm going to go ahead and put that on hold there. Debbie, are you still with me?
Yeah, it was a good reading. You know, you nailed the truck thing. She came back later and said he was a truck driver. And you had brought that up early on in the reading. So
yeah, it was. It's funny.
Yeah.
You'll just see suddenly you'll see flashes, symbols, and you just don't know what to make with it. And sometimes I just don't know what the hell to do with it. I'm like going, okay, I'll just splat it out there. I've learned it's like diving into water. You have to make the full commit, and they give it, you give it, you know. And once you learn to do that, and you start doing it with enough frequency, they will come through and really dial into your symbols. And it's a learning process for them too. I mean, the controls I work with on the other side, and the guides I work with, they know me pretty well, so they know my symbols, but I'm a little rusty, and you know, I'm a little slow on the uptake, and they like to cuff me on the head for it. Sarah, especially, Sarah's my regular guide, by the way, everybody. She's I have two primary guides. There's Sarah, and she's a Scottish woman who lived, I believe, sometime in the 13th to 14th centuries. And then I have an Indian warrior, and not an Indian like an American Indian. I'm talking an Indian warrior. This guy is he's very interesting. I have a very warlike personality. For those of you,
I think he's the one I've connected with. I think he's the one I've connected with.
He's a really cool guy. He doesn't like me to talk about him too much. But I'll just say this. He is actually a true historical personage, and I was able to find him in history, and he's been kind of assigned to me. And he's really good at it. He's managed to calm my savage heart because I as Debbie knows very well, I'm very outspoken about certain issues.
No,
and I have
no,
learned...
not you.
Yeah, so... Anyway, but I see we have another caller here. The time is 10:44. We got about 45 minutes left. I'm going to go ahead and pull this 971 caller up. And 971, you're on SoulStream. What's your name? Where are you from?
I'm Kelly. I'm from Oregon.
This is Kelly in Oregon?
Holly in Oregon.
Oh, Shelly in Oregon. Have I talked with you before?
Nope.
Okay. You got a familiar sounding voice. I like your energy already. I made you laugh. That's good. That's a good start. What part of Oregon are you from? Are you like near a lot of water or something?
I'm from the coast, Lincoln City.
Ah, okay. Lincoln City, where's that? Like, is that more northerly or to the southerly part?
Central.
Central?
Right,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. So are you,
by water.
What's that?
I said I am surrounded by water. I live by the river, by the lake, and then I have the ocean.
Yeah, I just saw water all around you. I'm like, I better bring that up. It's like, you're a water baby. Okay, we got that down. That's good. What brings you to our neck of the woods, my dear?
I would just like a reading.
Okay. And you heard part of the other reading where I say, don't tell me anything. I can't do that. So I'm just going to kind of... So whoever comes through, you know, you're not looking for a particular person, just whatever you need to hear, right?
Right.
Okay, we got it down. We're your people for this job, all right? Know what I mean, Bern? All right, let's do this. Mom's side of the family. Being drawn to mom's side of the family. All right, I'm just going to write down names. Write a name. I'm still trying to decide where to put it. This is a woman who's passed. I'm sorry, I'm not talking to the microphone here. I got to remember what. I haven't done this for a long time. I've migrated away from the microphone. This is definitely your mom's side of the family, and this is somebody I think that it's either to the side or above your mother. So, just reading your mom, I believe your mother is still alive. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Is your mother, to get the relation here, I'm getting this almost, I feel like it's to the side of your mother, but I don't know. If I had to read this right, I don't know that this is even, quote, a true relation to your mother, but... It almost feels like family, though. I mean, it's a mix-up here for me. I'm just trying to trust my instincts on this, and I'll just have to go with it. Is there, did your mother have siblings who passed?
Yes.
Sibling is a female, correct?
Correct. Her sister.
Is the sister's name, start with a J?
Janice, yes. Oh, my God.
Okay, I had Jeannie, but I was real strong with the J part. So that is the sister.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I still have it. Thank God. I'm still
you
a
do.
Good telephone here. I still get a telephone. Thank you.
You're
and
on
I'm
fire.
Sitting here, I'm putting my ego out of the way and looking at Sarah and my other guy going, thank you, guys. So this is good. This death is not terribly recent. Is this like in the last 5 years, give or take a year, that this passing occurred?
No, I was very young when it happened.
It's a ways back.
Yeah, maybe the past 15 years, I would say.
Actually,
maybe a little bit longer, 15 or 16 years.
Was this an illness? And don't tell me the name of it if it was, because I feel illness. Was she ill?
She was in the hospital, but it wasn't from illness. It was difficulty from childbirth.
Okay.
She had a baby and then a blood clot.
All right. Well, that is an illness.
Well,
an illness.
Yeah, but not like cancer or anything.
Because I was having trouble with it. I'm going, well, I know she, because I saw hospital setting, and I'm going, well, okay, illness, but, you know, I'm trying to place the illness, and I couldn't figure it out. And I was asking cancer, and I was like, no. Okay.
I was thinking, you know, cancer or something like that. So
when this blood clot happened, it was like a matter of days after the birth, or
yes.
You know, within a. So okay.
It was a matter
so,
of days.
Husband is still alive and still has is the child did the child survive? I believe the child survived. Is the child alive?
Yes.
And the father still is in custody of the child?
Yes.
Father's remarried?
Yes.
Okay. And her name is Janice. And you only knew her as a small child, and you had met her, correct?
Yeah, right.
You have memories of her?
No.
Not really?
No. Just through pictures and stuff, I love to, like, look through the old pictures and stuff, but, like, when it actually comes to memories of her, no.
So this was, so you're in your, what, 20s?
Late 20s.
Okay. Was trying to make sense of what she seems to be drawn to you. Are you either married or getting married?
I wish. I've been engaged twice.
Without diving into this too deeply, because I don't want to bring out, you know, I mean, I don't want to dive into personal stuff too much, but that's sort of the nature of the show. But is there a lot of thoughts on your part about children? Your own?
Yes.
All right. I believe Janice is kind of like around you on that subject, okay? Was your mother very close to Janice?
Yes.
I feel like that Janice sees this as her, the way that I'm being shown this is there's a real tender spot for you in her heart, and she is around you, and she will be around you and be there for you when your time comes with children. All right. So that's, she's really making that point across. But she's letting it be known, you know, that there is this whole thing with the children with you. There's a desire on your part to have the children. Now, the whole question of your relationship stuff, you know, yes, it is a challenge, but it's worth it, is kind of what she's bringing up here, that it's worth it for you to pursue this and to keep going. You will find the right person. So I don't know if you're already in a relationship now, but if you're not, the right one will come along, and you will have really great children and a really great wife, all right? And she's going to be there walking through you, okay?
Okay.
All right. So, I mean, what is going on with this the men thing right now? I'm so curious. I mean, what happened?
The first one, he was just quite a bit older than me, and so I wanted to take it slower, and he wasn't on board with that. The second one is actually pretty recent. It happened 6 months ago that we broke up. I have no idea what happened. We were together for almost 3 years. He asked me to marry him. Everything was going great. And then just over the night, it was over. And it was horribly over.
Wow.
Talking to him was like looking at the devil. I have never, ever encountered somebody so cold and cruel in my life, and I have no explanation as to why.
Well,
I honestly don't know.
You know, you've got a good common sense element to you. You see things as they are, not as you wish them to be. And that will play well for you the rest of your life. You've got that gift of being able to see things for what they really are or what they will be and not what you want that to be. Discrimination in your life, not being discrimination as far as racially, but discrimination in terms of, you know, what you will accept is a very good thing. And I sense that in you in spades. I mean, it's just, it's there. So you,
it is.
You know, yeah. Don't give that up ever. You know, trust your heart, trust your inner instincts. And, you know, and I'm not just saying that because I'm saying it. That's also your aunt who is with you a lot on this. Definitely, she seems to be not, I won't call her a guide in your life because you have your other guides who work with you, but she's definitely right in there with them, okay? So, and she's
okay.
Like kind of hovering over and checking in on you. Now, you've had a lot of thought, we're going to revisit the children thing with you. The children aspect with you is really strong. I mean, is the question, are you feeling like the biological clock ticking, or is it just you have a real... You're feeling that inner need, or is it both? You know, what is it with you?
It's both. I also, my dad remarried, and he married a 20-year-old. He's 55, and I have a brand-new baby sister who's 5 weeks old and a baby brother who's also a year old. And they are one of the greatest loves of my life. You know, there's nothing I wouldn't do to them. And in the world today, I know everybody is all about, you know, physical things. Well, when I die, I want at my obituary people to say she was a great mother. I want that to be one of the first things that people say. You know, I want to be the good mom, you know, to do everything possible I can to improve my children's life.
That's really a good goal. You know, and a lot of people talk about the big career and all that.
I don't want it anymore.
Yeah, what you're doing is a very honorable thing, and I commend you for it. And I think that you've got the full support of your family on this side and the other side there in that goal. And keep, you know, the one thing that I'm just getting, from Janice, and I believe your mother is pretty outspoken on these issues too, I take it.
Yes, she is.
Yeah, she's pretty supportive of you.
At times. She is a lot like me, and she calls it like she sees it. And when I mess up, I will be the first to tell you that I'm messing up, but I'll also be the first to tell you that I don't give a fuck if you think I'm messing up or not. sorry for my language, but I mean, it's my choice. I don't blame people for their mistakes. I do hold them accountable, and I will be the first to hold myself accountable. You know, I messed up recently pretty big, and my friend was like, oh, my God, I'm going to kick those people's butts for getting you involved with that stuff. And I was like, no, if you're going to be mad at somebody, you be mad at me. It was my choice. You know, don't be blaming other people for my mistakes. I'm an adult. I'm a big girl. You know, you be
you're
mad
very
at me.
Smart kiddo. You know something? You're a very smart kid. And I'll pass one little thing on, and this is just from me in this life and nobody else coming through. There's a big thing about mistakes that I work in aerospace, and one of the best bosses I ever had took me aside one time. I'd made a very big mistake, and it cost the company $20,000. And he pulled me aside, and I felt like, you know, total crap. And I'm sitting there going, "Oh God, you're going to fire me?" And he goes, "No." He goes, "I'm not going to fire you." And he says, "But you are going to tell me something." You know, and you're going to tell me everything that you just learned from this experience. And I go, "Say what?" And he goes, "I just spent $20,000 educating your ass. You're going to tell me what you, by God, learned from this." And I had to pull it out of there, and I had to tell him what I learned. And he said, "It was money well spent. Don't do it again." And that's the thing with mistakes. You know, you're going to make them in life. And the fact that you're willing to step up and face the things you've done, it's very good for you. And you as a mother especially, that's going to repay itself in dividends over and over again. So you're more than qualified for the job. The right guy will come along. And don't be in a big hurry. You know, you've still got plenty of time. You've got a few more life experiences to go on. I'm going to ask a question. I've got another name that keeps popping in on my head, and I don't know who this is, and I'm not even sure this is a man or a woman because it's one of those unisex names. Does and it starts with a G, and I'm going to go with George or Georgie. Is there a, or it's a J? Do you have a George or Georgie or George-like name associated with you? Because this energy is like really kicking in. This is, and I'm not sure male or female, but it is there. Is there a relative, you know, who's passed, or is there somebody in your life now?
I don't know a whole lot about my dad's family. He had 17 brothers and sisters.
Okay, well, this person is what I feel like it's funny because I just don't. I don't know where to put this, and I'm going to go, I've got a big giant G, and I'm just sitting here just going G, G, and it's just over and over again. And I in my family, I've got somebody named Joanne who we always called George. I have no idea why we would do that. Our family is very strange, but we always, you know, Joanne, and my sister's name is Joanne, named after her, but we always called her Georgie or Georgie Poo. And so I don't know if this fits. I'm going to go with more of a female connotation to this name for you, for your circumstance. But I feel like this person is, if they're not in your life now, I'm resisting the attempt to try to assign this to somebody who's passed over. I have a feeling this is going to be somebody formative in your life. And this may be in the near future. So mark this one aside in your brain cells. And just set it aside, because if I have to put a number on this, I'm going to say 6 months to a year. This person insinuates themselves in your life, and in a good way. This is not a bad thing. There's something that comes of this, and through this person, I feel like there's it opens some doors. What career are you in right now? Or what
I used to be a hotshot manager of a bunch of hotels and restaurants, and I took some time off, and now I devote myself to helping others. I became a CNA, and I work at the soup kitchen.
Have you ever – you've got some really interesting stuff around you, because have you ever done modeling?
No, but people say I look like Drew Barrymore. I get that a lot.
Well, let's put it this way. I don't know if this is going to be some life path thing that's being thrown your way, but you could definitely do some interesting work, I think, in modeling clothing or something. And I don't know that it's, quote, a primary career for you, but... I'm putting this out there because they're just throwing this at me to kind of put a bug in your ear. It's going to open up some doors, and I think it won't be the way you expect, but it'll be good stuff. So if that opportunity were to make itself apparent to you, don't automatically say, oh, no, I couldn't do that. Just have fun with it, because I just feel that around you. I mean, if you look like Drew Barrymore and you're getting noticed that way, and they're telling you that, are they saying that you should do modeling, or that you should do some, you know, play around in the media and do stuff like this?
Yeah, like random women will come up off the street and say, like, oh my gosh, you're really pretty, and I was hanging out with just a friend, and you look like Drew Barrymore, and I get it quite a bit from, like, just random people, and it's kind of flattering, especially, like, in a room full of people, like, oh my gosh, you're so pretty. And I go out without makeup a lot, so it's not like Drew Barrymore all dressed up.
Well, you know, things like that happen for a reason, and those are life paths that are trying to insinuate themselves in front of you. I spent many years walking around, and this started when I was 15 years old. I ran into – there used to be a radio station out in Sacramento called KROY, and they were heavy duty rock and roll, and I was always listening to them. And there was, you know, I had my favorite DJs, And I finally met some of them at a car stereo store, and I drove over there, and it was like I met some of them, and they heard my voice, and they were going, "You sound better than us. You should be in radio." And I kind of poo-pooed it. And then for the rest of the next 25 years, all I heard was, "You should be in radio." And I ended up being grabbed by my company, and I was doing titanium safety videos because they loved my voice and my stage persona. And were throwing me in doing voiceovers. And I kept doing all this microphone work, and finally I got this idea in my head, you know, I should do radio. So I'm kind of just throwing it at you. And I never knew that I was going to do mediumship. It just all this stuff sort of conspires this way. That's why these little patterns are showing up early enough in your life that you'll start noticing them more. That's the other side kind of drawing you along, going, yeah, we gave you a mission. You better go follow that. So if they're telling you this stuff and people are walking up and doing that to you, you might want to wake up and smell the coffee.
Okay.
Just going to throw that in there, your little ear there. You know what I mean? I got some experience in these areas. So. But I just get this G name around you. The other thing, are you big on pets, yes or no? And don't tell me what kind.
Yes, yes, yes.
Are you more of a dog person? Is it a dog thing?
Yes, yes.
Is there a little white dog in your life that just that either passed?
Not white, but he has passed.
Okay, so yeah, because I saw a little white dog, and I'm going, what was this recent?
Yes, this was like 5 months ago, and I am still grieving to this day for him. I put flowers on his grave on the anniversary every single month, fresh flowers.
Yeah, I just all of a sudden, out of the blue, I'm getting pets, and I'm just going. And I first saw, I think a cat. No, dog. Definitely dog energy. Yeah. What kind of dog was this?
Does he forgive me? His name is Apollo, and I rescued him.
That's so fitting because I grew up in the Apollo program with my father working on all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
He was my baby.
I mean, did you have to put him down?
I did. I rescued him when he was 3 years old, and I had the most awesome 6 years with him, and he got sick. He had arthritis and he had cancer, and it got to the point where my little man, to me, he would go to stand up and he would just collapse. And so I made the decision to put him to sleep, and I was with him the whole time.
Was his, you said he was, his hair was kind of a black color?
He was a black lab.
Did he have, was his hair?
He had gray on
him.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
his little
mustache
and beard.
Okay. But, he's... animals have spirits, and they cross into the other side just like any other life form. And human beings, he's absolutely fine with what you did. There's no pain. He's out of the pain. He's absolutely fine with everything.
Situation where, you know how I said I made some bad choices? I did, and there was this one time that I wanted to protect him, and it was right after my breakup with my ex. And I yelled at him, and I told him to get out of the room. And I used to hire a babysitter for my dog because I worked such long hours. I didn't want him to be home alone. So I actually paid a little girl $100 a week to babysit him. He was my baby. I treated him like a child. He got Christmas presents, birthday presents. He was everything. But I kind of feel like I let him down that last month. I yelled at him, and he went to the door, and he just, like, looked at me, and he looked down, and I watched him walk through, and that image is, like, sticking with me, and I wish I could take it back.
Oh, sweetie,
I will
never
forget the expression on his face as he walked through that door.
So what about when you took him to be put down? Did you tell him you loved him and you held him the whole time he was going, right?
I told him I loved him. I kissed his face, and the whole time the doctor was like wanting him to lay on the floor, and I told him, no, Apollo, he was a big dog. I carried him up the steps. I carried him to his death because he couldn't walk. I carried him and I held him in my hands, and then the vet gave him the injection. I just told him, I was like, it's okay, baby. I love you. Thank you so much for letting me be your mom. And I just kept telling him, I was like, I love you. Thank you. I love you so much. I think you're going to be okay. I promise you're going to be okay. And the vet came and listened for his heartbeat, and she's like, he's gone. And he's like, you need to let go. And I was like, I can't. And I just held him on the floor for like a half hour. I couldn't let him go. And I go visit his grave all the time. And when I talk to him, I swear to God, I feel him with me.
Well, sweetie, you know, when you go through the process of having life, there's little things called conflict that happen, and even between an owner and a pet. But all that's forgotten and down the wash, because you did the most important thing. You were there for him when he was passing, and you told him the most important things. You know, I mean, my father had massive strokes, and it got to the point where he was not himself, and he would attack me physically. I had things happen to me that you cannot believe. And I had one incident about 6 months before my dad passed where he told me it was so bad, the verbal barrage I was exposed to. Family members were crying, and I just stood there and took it. And he finally got done with it, what he was saying, and he says, well, what do you think of that? And I looked at him and said, you know, no matter what you say to me, I'm going to love you no matter what, because you're my father, and that's just the way this works. And I turned around and walked out. And about 6 hours later, he walks up to me, and he's totally in tears. And it was the disease. You know, it wasn't anything personal. And I told him that. I says, Dad, it takes a lot more than that to make me quit, you know, loving you. So, you know, and I could get mad at him, and that's fine. But when the day came that I had to hold him, and I held him as he died in my arms, you know, and I will never forget that. And so much of what you said reminded me of holding my father when he passed. And the most important thing in the world is that you held your loved one when they passed. So you did a great job, honey. You did great.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. You have nothing to worry about. He's around you. He's fine. He's done with all that.
Sometimes I wake up and, like, I smell him, and it's funny because everybody's like, he stinks. And, like, to me, he didn't stink. Like, I would come home, and I would, like, give him a big bear hug and, like, bury my face in his neck. And he was great. He used to wake me up by putting his nose on my cheek and sneezing. And I know that sounds gross, but, I mean, I love it. I love our bond that we had. He spit on me once. I told him no, and I told him, I was like, you're grounded, that's it. He went and got a drink of water, and then he used to always nuzzle me in the neck, only he didn't swallow the water. He came and, like, put his nose and mouth up in my neck, so I gave him a hug. He opened his mouth, and so all the water came out. I was like, you just spit on me. Are you serious?
That's pretty good.
I mean, that is great. I love, everybody keeps telling me to get over it, but I love talking about him, and I love telling stories. I mean, he was a great, great son. I am so grateful and so honored that I got to be his mom for 6 years.
Well, you know what? The sense I get of it is that he's gone on to a better place, but he also stepped out at the time that you are making life decisions to move on into being a mother. And part of his role in your life, if you never stopped to think about it, was to train you up for those first steps for motherhood.
That is one of the things that I made a mistake. You know, I messed up pretty good. And the one thing that I take away from my lesson with Apollo, it will never happen again. I will never let myself get so caught up in the grief over a man that I will deliberately hurt the one person that has loved me and stood by my side through freaking everything, which is Apollo. And I know I talked about him as if he was a human, but to me, he was. I will never let myself get so lost like that again.
Well, you know what? You know, he's fine with that. All that's under the bridge. And you know, you're the interesting part about being human is that we go in with our best of intentions, but when everyday life intervenes, things happen. And it's not so much the mistakes we make, it's how we handle them after in the end. And, you know, we scoop the person up or persons we love and we go, I love you. So you did all that magnificently. You did a great job. So it's a good goal to have. Is it possible to do every single time? Yes and no. You're going to find that life will throw those little lessons at you, and you're going to find yourself looking at it. You know, 10 years down the road, and you may make a similar mistake, and you'll go, oh, yeah, I've been there, down that road. I'll avoid that. And it may present itself again, and next time you'll go, oh, I've seen that hole coming before. I won't go down that street. I'll try another way of handling this. So it's a pattern, and you'll learn. But you've got a really good heart, and you're going to do fine, and you're going to be a great mom, absolutely. So I just see good things for you. I really do. You've got a great energy about you. You know, and the other thing is your family gifted with abilities, you know, as far as mediumship or psychically? Because I really get a strong sense of someone, if not you, it's someone close to you.
I have been told that about me when I was younger, and my mom, people tell that about her too.
Yeah, and you're feeling, so you feel...
With me, it's just like a sixth sense. It's like I know it before it happens.
Trust your instincts on that. And not only that, I would predict that later down the road, if you start experiencing more spiritual activity around you, pay attention to that stuff, because that may be these abilities beginning to awaken more. I really get that strongly with you, that I think you've got either decent psychic skills and or into mediumship. And so kind of put that one aside. And that may or may not be a path you choose, but I think you've got the gift.
Okay.
And, you know, just kind of trust that. One other thing you brought up about kind of smelling him and all that, as far as your dog. We're cat people, okay? And we've had dogs and we love them, but we've always had cats. And we've lost 4 cats in the last 5 years, and we're down to 1 cat left. And we love our little Sandy. She's a little black cat, and she's really cool. And she's our outdoor mouser. So, and she comes in at night, you know, and she demands her lovings and all that. So she's got real personality. But all our other cats have made appearances after they passed. And one of them was a little cat we had called Biddy. And she was an indoor cat only because she was blind. She could see a little bit in front of her, maybe about 3 feet, but that was it. And she passed, and we both had the experience, my mother and I both, of her jumping on the bed. For about 3 months, we would wake up and there would be this little you would feel her walk across the bed and then flop down at the end of the bed. And that's what she did at night. Every night she would come and claim ownership of us and then jump off and run and go claim the other people at night. And that was her pattern. And she did that. And she was more attached to my mother than me, but she still would come and claim me and then do her obligatory 5 minutes and go, yeah, I'm done with you, and then go back to her mom. It's true. They come back, and they're sweet little souls, and they just love us because we love them. And so, you know, I feel like your relationship with Apollo is still going to continue, you know. And when you make your cross on the other side, Apollo will be there. You know, you will be able to have that thing. And I have a thing in my studio called a mind lamp, and it turned a perfect shade of pink just as I said that. So that's love, you know, great love there that you have. So, you know, honestly, I mean, you're going
on
a really good path.
That I had the chance to have him. I'm so, oh my gosh, so blessed that he would have been my wife.
Yeah, you really, you live by your heart, and it's on your sleeve, and that's good. And a lot of people will say, oh, no, you can't do that. You have to hide your feelings. It's like, no, get out there, you know. My people are like right out there with it, you know. This is how I feel.
Right.
If I didn't know any better, I'd say you're related to me somehow. But it's just You've got that. You've got that all. You've got that going in your favor. Just get out there with that energy, and you, I mean, whatever you set your mind to, you're going to do great. You know, but I really like what you're doing with the mothership thing, and you know, and wanting to be a great mom, and you've got your head on straight. So, more power to you.
All right, thank you so much.
Okay. I hope you enjoyed the reading.
I did. Thank you so much. It was
all right,
awesome.
All right, Shelley.
All right, you have a fabulous day and a great week.
You too, sweetheart.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. See you later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. All right. This is Soul Stream. It's 11:20. We've got about 10 minutes left in the show.
She's
going to
be a great mom.
She's going to be a great mom.
She's got a lot of compassion, a lot of love, and yeah, she'll be great.
Let's see. I'm going to do this thing that I do called stretching because my back is completely seized up. I've been doing this, and I'm just going. Suddenly realized, oh my God, I need a moment. You know, I'm going to play one of the show bumpers just for fun. I originally intended to play the FBI intro because it's always the tip of the hat to my great grandfather who was a grandfather agent of the FBI. So. Grandpa, this one's for you, and I'm going to stretch for a minute, and I'll be right back.
Coming to you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, you're listening to Soul Stream on blogtalkradio.com.
Sick here the other day. I had to take my car into the shop, and $850 later, I have my car back. But it's got really good brakes now, and the engine light went off because of the damn connector. The ignition connector went bad while I was getting out of a class in Sacramento, and I was in worst rush hour traffic ever, and my engine light goes on, and I'm going, oh my God! And then I'm yelling out the spirit, get me home! And I got to I got all the way to my mechanic's place and was able to drop the car off, and she always gets me there, my dear Sarah. I named her after my guy. So anyway, I got my car.
She's a great car. She is a great car.
I feel the need for speed. I need to go up again in the CJ6 with my boss. My boss has a Chinese-made fighter trainer, which you know, I never could figure it out. I spent my whole life in the defense business, helping protect the United States, and the first fighter plane I get to go up is made by a commie. Go figure. Anyway, it was a really cool airplane.
Life is full of great twists.
Yeah, it's really weird. Yeah, I'm up in it. And not only that, it's a commie airplane made by the Russians that the Chinese took and of course, changed for their own thing. And they never could invent anything original, so they stole the design.
Got a little Mitsubishi motor in it.
Hey, you know what? You know, I see somebody out there that I haven't seen it forever. Sonic Tech is here. Sonic Tech. You'd think it's a guy. It's a member of GRI. I see her out there. She knows who she is. Ha ha. Sherry, what are you doing? Hey, guess what? I've got our cases all picked out, and she's going to love this one. We're going to do Cal Neva, and we're also going to do... I'm getting the reservations made for us for the Gold Hill Hotel. We're going for the miner's cabin, okay? So And we're going to do some video work. So I don't know if you're up for being a camera person. She's typing now. Yeah, so if you want to do some camera work, and we're going to do some interesting stuff, let's just say. There's going to be some changes going on here at Giles. You know, Gilligan, we got to shoot for Ghost. Gilligan, you know. I'm sorry, I'm starting to freak out here. I've had tonight, you know, I'll admit, I was nervous as hell about doing these readings. And I feel like, you know, first one was pretty good. Second one, I was like, I was on target, baby.
You were great. You did great. You did awesome.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm just a telephone for the, you know, I'm just a telephone man. I just relate what I get, you know what I mean? So I have a good time doing it, you know. Yeah, you know, it's mediumship is just about, you know, you put that little ego thing aside and you just sit there and just start spitting out stuff. And once you learn how to have the interaction with them, you know, your guides, it's like, and you can get that flow going. Wow. That dog thing was pretty cool. I don't know what it was with the white part of this dog, but it was like either that's or that's the way that dog appeared to me in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just so neat because I suddenly got a recent passing of a dog, and wow, boy, talk about knocking
cool.
it out of the park.
That was cool. Yeah.
Yeah, and her heart just completely turned to butter on that, and she's a mm-hmm. sweetie. So,
I was glad that you picked up on that, like I said, because she needed to hear that. She needed to.
Yeah, it was just, you know, and the other thing with the kids, I mean, you know, you don't hear that too often, a younger lady like that coming out and just saying, I want to be a mom. And that's a
mm-hmm.
really good thing, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. And she knows what she wants in life. And gosh, you know, a lot of people don't know what they want, and they're going into their 50s and 60s, you know. So
that's
she's
right.
got her stuff together. She's a good kid. So
mm-hmm.
gosh darn. Well, I want to thank you for being my co-host tonight. You know what I mean?
Oh, anytime, you know? Old buddy.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Good to have you here. Chris at Curious Times. She is like a senior leader at BTR. She's really in control of the whole network, and she just tells me, good job, John. Take care, everybody. She's going to kill me now.
She's on. I think she's working at BTR more than BTR does.
Yeah, she's actually.
She does so many shows.
No, she owns BTR. She's actually in control of it. You know, it's the people of Canada own BTR. You know, they don't say Canada anymore. It's Canada. Would you like some Canada beer?
She's gonna write you something.
She's gonna. Well, she's. I'm angling for her to get me on her show, so she'll have me get on, and we can have a fun night. She needs to like invite me on her show. I wonder if she would ever invite me on her show. Do you think she would invite me on her show? I wonder if I could.
I
on
think
her
that
show.
We should all just start emailing her and telling her she needs to invite you onto her show.
Yeah, she needs to invite me on her show. I wonder if
we
she.
Need
oh,
to
oh, 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 oh. Oh, Kurt, I wasn't expecting that. She says, sure, come on. Do you really love me? You love me?
Yep.
Oh, I got an Oscar for it, too. I'm sorry. I love you guys, too. I missed you guys. I did. It's good to be back in front of the mic, even with all the weird stuff going on.
And you're like back to faces. You're doing good. You did good.
Ooh, yes, it was wonderful.
Hey, would you do a reading for me in that voice someday?
What's that, dear?
Do a reading for me as Julia Child or something. That would be fun.
Oh, yes. In your case, I'm feeling hot flashes. Ooh, goodness gracious me. let's see, everybody, and you know, back away from the helium, John. I love you guys. Oh gosh. Well, hey, we got 1 minute left. I'm going to be on next week. We'll do our show again on Saturday night, 9:30 p.m. We'll do some. You know, I'd love to do some EVP stuff, and I'll play some evidence from the Pioneer Cemetery case. And we'll do some on-air EVP stuff, too. And so we'll have a good time. So and she wants me on next Friday night. And I'll say, yeah, let's do that. Okay. I'll get on Facebook and give you a yell. So we'll do that. And so Curious Times is out there. Gabriel, Special Family Connection, my co-host, Debbie, Gerber, JZTM, and Sherry of Sonic Tech. She has sonic weapons. They actually create weapon systems out of sonic things. I've seen her do, you know, she takes these things
don't
on
mess
our
with Sherry.
Shoots the crap out of these sites that we go on. Oh, Sherry, you got to quit destroying these sites we do. Anyway, we got 10 seconds left. So I love you guys. I will see you next week. And thank you, Debbie. You are loved. Thank you.
Good night. Love you back. Good night, everybody.
Hey, see you guys later.
Bye.
And off stream. That was a good show.
Yes, you did good.
Thank you very much. It's very good to be here.
There was very few. I mean, I can't remember anything that you didn't hear on.
Yeah, that was it was strange. I mean, the George or Georgie thing with this whole thing for Shelley.
You know what, though?
That might
be a person that's in her life coming up.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying to her. But I really had trouble putting that in order as to what that was, where that plugged in. Sometimes I really think that is a future thing. But the Janice, you know, I was thinking Jeannie, and I was going, I'm not sure I like that. But I started with the J, and boom, it turned out to be the sister. She's going to be around that girl for a while, and she really loves her.
She's going to make sure that she's by her side as she's raising her kids, and that's nice.
Not only that, she gets to participate in the whole mom process. So she gets to do some things that she really had meant to do. So she'll be part of it. So that's kind of cool.
That's very cool.
Well, you know what? I'm all pooped out here.
I bet. You gave it 140% there.
Yeah, I'm going to get some water here. Oh, goodness gracious. I'm learning to bring water because when you do mediumship, you burn through water like you can't believe.
Did it cool down pretty good in Studio A?
Yeah, it's still a little warmish in here, but I damn near got stunned to death when I first opened the studio because the wasp had built a big. I got hit in the head by a wasp, and it hit me twice, and I'm running, and I'm surprised I didn't get stung, you know. And then it ran back for its nest, and I came back with the wasp killer, and the inside door. When you open it up, Studio A is in a big barn, and when you open up the barn door, that's where this nest was, right on the side of the door. So I walked by them when I walked in, and they didn't hit me. But on the way out, they tried to kill me. But I hit them with that wasp killer, and that took care of their butts. You know, they were crawling, they were dropping like flies, and then I kicked that thing off of there, and they were all dead. So I'm sorry for sending those guys to the other side, but they were evil creatures, you know what I mean?
They were. If they were trying to sting you, they were evil. Mm-hmm.
They will die for their influence against the medium. Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Time to get
Studio A completely dusted out and on fire again. You're great. So.
Well, actually, it's pretty cleaned up. There's still some more work to do in here, but I think it's going to be a good run here this year. So yeah, are you thinking of coming out on one of the cases?
I want to. Yeah, I definitely want to. I just have to work out logistics. You know my situation, so with the boys and everything. But I do want to come up. I think the Calneva or the Gold Hill thing sounds cool. Now, the Gold Hill, is that the one that's by the Columbus Cemetery? The Pioneer Cemetery?
Gold Hill
is the
oldest.
That's
in Virginia City, and it's the oldest.
It's in Virginia. Okay.
Yeah, it's the oldest hotel west of the Mississippi, and it is right next to the Yellow Jacket Mine, where there was this horrible, horrible fire in the late 1850s. I think it was between 30 and 40 men died in there. And I had some amazing, amazing experiences there, including having a door. I got in a tug of war with a door that was trying to close itself, and there was no one there to pull the door, and there was another door behind it, so there was nobody behind, and that door was locked. and closed, and I was trying to open this screen door, which is a heavy screen door, and I was in a battle with this door, and there was a spirit on the other side of the door pulling it, and it was having fun at my expense. And I saw a full body apparition come out of the Yellow Jacket mine. It wasn't full body. It was the three-quarter body. I saw the feet up through the torso, and there was no head. It was just a body running out. And then we saw orbs with our naked eyes, and we also saw up in one of the buildings, one of the big buildings on stilts where the old mining gear and the lift equipment was, we saw white apparitions in the middle of the night that were floating through the building. And it was a place no human being could get to because it's all cut off. So there's no way that was any living human being. And we were witnessing all these things. And so it's extremely haunted. And
it's amazing. We live in such a great place. I mean, we live in the hills where they mine for gold, and there was so many people being killed for mining and for gold, and so many things going on, and so much growth and so much destruction also. I mean, we live in a really great spiritual area, so you're in a great spot for what you do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right on top of this whole, we got Spook Central here. I've got three grave sites, grave sites on the property, and we've had all kinds of stuff. But, I don't like to encourage the haunt here too much because I have to live in it.
Right.
But what I do.
Yeah, and
like
I gotta visit it, so don't do that.
Yeah. So I just want to be able to go out and experience some of these cases again. And it's gonna be some of these places I've done before, some places I've never done. So these first, the first case will be, I think Calmeva. And then we'll do in July, we'll do the other one, Gold Hill. I just can't wait to do them, though. I really feel the need to get out there. And we're going to do more video, and then we'll produce videos and do a YouTube thing with it kind of treat it more like a television series. So, yeah, that would be fun. So
it would be fun. It would be a lot of fun.
All right, my dear. Well, hey, I'm going to hang it up. We're going to go ahead and call it a night. And I wish you a good night. And appreciate you being my co-host.
Okay, well, it was a good show. It was fun.
Cool, thanks a lot.
So you just listen in and giggle every now and then. So.
All right. Well, hey, I'll Facebook you after this, okay?
Okay. All right. Have a good night, John.
Okay, you too. Bye, Devers.
Bye-bye.
All right. This is Soulstream. Going to sign off with a little bit of, let's find something that's, we got to find something that's really good. I think we'll do this one. I like a good romantic close to any show, so a little bit of At Last. See you guys next week.
Coming to you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, you are listening to Ghostwriter Paranormal Radio in Studio B, live on blogtalkradio.com.